God doesn't send people to hell. People always say, how can a good God send someone to hell? The good God doesn't send people to hell. The good God sends his son to earth to save people from hell. Hell was created for the devil and his angels, not for you.
Anybody excited about going to heaven? It's an easy question at church because you're hoping the people here are counting on going to heaven. I've met a few people in my life that told me, I don't want to go to heaven, don't care, happy to go to hell. But almost everybody you meet on some level hopes to go to heaven, mostly because it's a better option than the alternative. But for some of us, we're actually in love with Jesus and really hoping to see him face to face. But what's interesting to me about heaven is a lot of us want to go there. A lot of us are thinking for sure we are going there, but not many of us know a lot about heaven. And I really can't unpack all of what heaven is in a short message today, but I want to at least paint a picture today for what heaven is. And I want to talk about a few of the things that you can't do in heaven. We talked about last week that our lives are brief. Remember that? 5 seconds. And we're out of here. Life is short and eternity is long. So if there are things you can't do in the length of eternity that you can do in the brevity of your time on earth, it would be a wise move to do the things you can't do in eternity while you've got an opportunity on earth. So heaven, what's it like? A few things just to describe it, and you can dig more in if you would like to, but heaven is real, and heaven is brand new. I love the way that Revelation shows us this when John is getting this picture of heaven. Last week, we looked at the weighty part in the end of chapter 20, verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence and there was no place for them. Now, just if we can jump in just for a moment here, this is helping us understand that any mentality that says, when I die, I'm going to heaven and I'm going to give God a big high five, that's not the way it's going to play out right away. Any kind of a mindset that says, man, I was just talking to the man upstairs. I'm telling you, there is no man upstairs. The one that's upstairs is sitting on a great throne, and in his presence, earth and everything else flees. And that's where we're all going to be at the end of our lives. And then John goes on. He says, turning the page a little bit into chapter 21, he says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things is passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, can you just say these words with me? Do you see them? I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. What do we know about heaven? We know it's new. It is new. It is brand new. It is a new heaven and a new earth. We're not just going to be absorbed up into the clouds. There's going to be a do-over for planet Earth. The one that we corrupted by our sinful choices is going to be made over again in the way God intended it in the first place. And you're going to be made new. This is what 1 John 3 says. It says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear children, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. You're getting an upgrade, people. You're like, oh, I'm pretty happy. I had some work done. I'm, you know, in relatively good shape. I kind of like the stage I'm in. I like my hair, what it's doing right now. So I feel pretty good. No, you are getting a major upgrade. It's going to be new. Second thing about heaven, just touching on these really quick, it's tangible. So it's not ethereal. It's not those angels that we see on the greeting card where one's looking over and the other one's kind of looking off in the distance. It's not that. It's not a harp recital. It's not floaty through the sky. It's real and tangible, not just some by and by. That's not a great description for where we're going. It's not the by and by. It's a new heaven and a new earth. It's meaningful. In other words, you don't have to worry about just standing around, you know, singing hymns for the rest of forever. And I know that's not bad, but some of you really don't love the music, okay? I get that. Some of you really don't consider yourself a worshiper in that sense. And, you know, for you, the 15, 20 minutes we sing at church feels like forever to you sometimes. And you're like, man, if this is heaven and we're just going to do that forever, whoa. Whoo. Well, A, you need to love that more. So that's A. Because that's about God and you love God. That's singing to God. That's not just singing in the car, which you do love, by the way. This is singing to God and you love God and God is in heaven. He is in the midst of heaven. So if you don't, if God isn't that interesting to you, or if it's a little bit on the boring side, then you need to start rethinking heaven. Because he's in the midst of it. That's the last thing on the list that I wanted to mention. It's God-centric. In other words, he is the star attraction of heaven. Doesn't mean we're all standing around a circle singing songs to him for all of eternity, because it's a new heaven and a new earth, and there are things to do on the new earth, just like he gave Adam and Eve things to do on the first earth. Meaningful things. Running stuff, being in charge of stuff, being stewards of stuff, creating stuff, co-creating with God on earth. This is the plan, and it's going to be meaningful for you. I'll talk about that a little bit more in just one second. It's going to be personal. You're going to know people there. People are going to know you. We're not just going to be some angelic beings floating around in the by and by. You're going to go, oh, hey, I know you. And people are going to look at you and go, hey, I know you. It's going to be enjoyable. I think the enemy kind of low-key has got it being not that enjoyable. It's going to be enjoyable. You're like, enjoyable like what? We just went to Switzerland, and it was the greatest trip we've ever been on in our lives. Is it going to be as good as that? Yeah. You are not going to be in heaven going, oh, honey, remember how amazing it was when we were in Grindelwald? No, you're going to be going, this is Grindelwald on steroids. This is Grindelwald, and my feet don't hurt. And this is Grindelwald, and I don't have a sinus infection right now from the flight over. This is Grindelwald, and I'm not jet lagged. This is Grindelwald, and there wasn't an annoying person on the tram with us. All I can't paint the specifics. I'll tell you this. Whatever is your jam is going to be blown away by heaven. You're going to love it. You're going to enjoy it. You're going to wish more people you knew were at it. It's out of this world, literally out of this world. There are a few things that you're not going to find there. There's no preaching there. You should get an amen for that. I don't know. I've been rethinking this a little bit because I've been joking about this for a long, long time. You've all heard me say it. No preachers in heaven. And then I realized I needed to redact that and clarify a little bit because there are going to be a few preachers in heaven. I don't know how many, but some. And so it's not no preachers in heaven. It's no preaching in heaven. But then I started realizing preachers like preaching. So there might be a day in heaven where all the preachers get together and just preach. Now, you're not coming to it. I understand that. But there would be some people that would come to that. But I guarantee you there's no litigators in heaven. So if that's your thing, you need to start working on a side hustle. There's no funeral directors there. No grave diggers in heaven. No headstone engravers in heaven. No cancer researchers. No drug makers. No open heart surgeons. Not in heaven. Who is there? Well, Jesus was in that parable of the 10 minas. This nobleman was going away to be anointed king and coming back. And when he left, he called 10 people and he gave them each a mina. A mina is like 3 months' wages. And he said, I want you to steward this while I'm gone. I'll be back. And when he came back, he said, bring the 10 guys. And the first guy came and said, where's my mina? He said, well, I took your mina and turned it into 10 minas. So he took the 3 months' wages and turned it into 10 times 3 months' wages. And the king, who's now been anointed, comes to him and says, well, way to go. You have been faithful. Do you know this phrase? With a little. So I'm going to make you in charge of what? Of much. Thank you. You have been faithful with this small thing I gave you. So now I'm going to give you a big thing. And he says to him, you're going to rule over 10 cities. So this is a picture of heaven. This is a picture of the second coming of Jesus. This is a picture of Jesus saying to me, Louis, I'm going to give you a mina right now. In other words, everything you've got, I gave you anyway. I would like you to steward it well till I come back as king. And when I come back as king, you're going to show me what you did with what I put in your hands. And then I'm going to put you in charge of things. Wow. So we know in heaven there's management, there's administration. There's creation of things, co-creating in the new world with God, which means there's developers in the new world. I think that implies could be architects and growers and painters and content creators and designers and landscapers and builders and musicians and cooks and hosts and florists and placemakers and dog groomers. Just try to slip that in, see if everybody be okay with that. Because London is going to need to get groomed. You're like, now you're talking about the thing I've been hoping you talk about. This whole collection is my pet going to heaven. I cannot say authoritatively whether your pet's going to heaven unless it's a cat. Is that too much? Okay, we'll let your cat in because all things are made new, so I won't be allergic to it. In Isaiah 11, this is a prophecy, and it says the leopard and the kid are going to lie down together, and the wolf and the lamb are going to lie down together. It is projecting that there are for sure animals in the new world. So if they're going to be animals in the new world, I'm thinking it's a good bet that some of our pets that we love are going to be in the new world if they're going to be animals there. Paul said the whole creation is groaning for the redemption of all things. And I can't say 1,000%, but I'm going to go with dog groomers in heaven. Ski slope operators. Heaven is going to be a place where we are co-creating in the new earth with God in our midst. And it's going to be meaningful. I say this mostly to the doers, the people that are making stuff happening, the people that are getting things done, the people that are breaking ground and taking territory and inventing things and building things and developing things and pushing envelopes. You're not going to be bored in heaven. But there's 7 things you can't do in heaven. So in the 5-second window, there are things you can do for God to show your thanks to God. There are ways you can take your mina and you can return it to God in gratitude for all that he's done for you that you cannot do forever in eternity. So just to skip to the end really fast, if there are things you can do to honor God in the 5 seconds that you can't do in the forever, when you get to the forever, you're going to wish you did in the 5 seconds the things that you can't do forever. And the first one is this: you can't say yes to Jesus as Lord and Savior in heaven. The box score will already be posted by then. And so if you want to say yes to Jesus as Lord and Savior, you have to do it in the 5 seconds you have called life on earth. And that's a word. That's a word. That's a word. Some of you are going to say, why didn't I
say yes. I even, by the grace of God, ended up at that church on that day when that guy was talking about this very thing. And I sat there and I rationalized and I just wrestled and I let the enemy get me all distracted. Right now, right here, right now, you can change your eternity and upgrade significantly your time on planet Earth by joining your life to the life of Jesus Christ and allowing him to be the Lord of your life. You can say yes to his grace and his mercy and his love right here and right now. That's one thing you cannot do in heaven. It's over, people. There is a time coming. There is a moment of reckoning. There is a place called accountability, and there is a decision that is made for eternity. The second thing that you cannot do in eternity, you can't do in heaven, is pray prayers that shake the gates of hell. You realize that Jesus is building the church, and he said the gates of hell are not going to withstand this church that I'm going to build. In other words, we're in a contentious season right now. It's darkness versus the things of Almighty God, and we are authorized in this contentious season by calling on the name of Jesus to push back darkness, to shake hell itself. You, on your knees in Jesus' name, can launch missiles into the darkness. You can see people set free. You can see people redeemed. You can see your neighbors change. You can see the works of the enemy exposed and torn down. You can be a player in this moment. But once we're in heaven, the gates of hell are closed, and it's it. And there's no more hell-shaking prayer for eternity. And I'm telling you, in a moment like that, when it all comes clear, we're going to go, why didn't I shake hell while I could? Because now the gates to hell are closed. Three of the things you can't do in heaven is you cannot lift the poor in heaven. There's no Love Atlanta Week in heaven. There's no opportunity to go to the disadvantaged, to the downtrodden, to those who've been oppressed, to those who are in prison, and to say to them, by God's grace, I am an ambassador to God, and I want to extend my hand and lift you up out of whatever is holding you down. In this little moment, you can do that every day. But in heaven, no one lifts the poor. This is why Jesus said, I've come to do exactly that. And if you want to walk with me, you want to be with me, you want to journey through life with me, guess what? A whole lot of what we're going to be doing together is lifting up the poor and lifting up those who've been run over by life and lifting up those who cannot get up by themselves. And we're going to do as much of it as we can while we can, because there's a day coming when everything's made new. The fourth thing that you cannot do in heaven is to share the gospel and see when someone put their faith in Jesus. Has anybody ever been there and been the ambassador of God, the translator of the gospel? I mean, you and somebody, when they said, I want that, and you said, great, I can help you take that step of faith, and you were the one who opened the word, prayed the prayer, helped them pray, and when the amen happened and they were born again, son or daughter of God, you were the one that God was using in that moment to see them come to life. Have you ever had a moment with that, like that, with anybody? I mean, to say it a different way, have you ever led anyone to Jesus? I mean, yes, partly I was in the invitation. I helped them come to a thing. I sent them a resource. And so, yes, I'm in the economy of God. But have you been the one where they were looking at you saying, okay, I've heard you. I see what you're saying. I want that. Can I make that decision right now? And you said, yes, let's pray right now. And we all should say yes, by the way, right now. And maybe that's what the church needs more than anything, is for all of us to wake up to this understanding that we are God's ambassadors, as if we were inviting the world to him. Or he was, the way Paul said it, he was inviting the world to himself through us. Therefore, we are now the agents of reconciliation on earth. I pray, dear God, that everybody who hears this message will at some point in their life have the joy of leading someone else to Jesus. if not multiple times. This is the greatest thing that you can think of. You're like, well, Louis, I'm not an evangelist. I don't have that kind of personality. I'm not super outgoing. I'm not super confident. I don't really know if I know how to lead somebody to Jesus. So that's not really my gift. I'm a prayer, or I'm a giver. I'm a leader. I'm a server. And all that's great. But all of us at some point are carriers of the best news on planet Earth. Surely somebody at some point is going to go, I don't know. Something's happening to you, and I'd like to know what it is. Jesus. Okay, great. I'd like to know how to know him then. Great, you can help me? Great, let's do it. What does that mean? Get saved? Like right now? Okay, I'm ready. Awesome. There's nothing, or just think about it. What on your 5-second resume is gonna top out above, I led my neighbor to Jesus? And they are now in the forever because of that moment. And then once we're into the forever, the coast is clear on sharing your faith. Not ever happening. That's something that we have the privilege of doing with our mina in the 5-second life. A few more, 7 of these. Number 5, choose obedience. There's no fork in the road in heaven. If you're a teenager here today, you get that. If you're a human being here today, you get that. There's no fork in the road in heaven where we go, okay, I could do it God's way, but man, that other way looks pretty fantastic. It's none of those. Even the thing of coming to church today, some of you chose obedience today, right? You didn't feel it. Your circumstances didn't amen it, but you said, I'm going to get up and I'm going to get dressed and I'm going to the house of God and I'm going to praise God today. Not because I feel like it, because I'm choosing obedience today. I'm choosing to worship him today. I'm choosing where I could have the world. I am choosing to follow Jesus. I'm choosing obedience. We'll never get to do that in eternity. So if you want to show God with your mina that you want to choose him over every other thing this world has, then you have to do that in the 5 seconds. The 6th thing is to leverage your resources for eternal causes. Now, you probably saw this one coming, but there is no generosity moment in heaven. There is no giving moment in heaven. In fact, that book is closed. Jesus said, we store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. So once the moment comes where we breathe our last breath, whatever we have advanced into our heavenly kingdom is there, and it is done. That's the record. And so your eternity in terms of your position, status, and resources are going to be set the moment you take your last breath based on what you have shipped ahead. And I know I'm going to look back at the 5 seconds and go, why didn't I move more, A, for my eternal sake? Jesus said that. So it's not a bad thing for you and I to think, well, I want to make sure I'm laying up for myself treasures in heaven so that when I get there, I'm not bankrupt, A, but I also know that in laying up the treasures in heaven, I can impact the 2 things that last forever, the word of God and the souls of men. I want to see eternal things change because of my finances and my resources. I'm not looking at a QR code on a screen going, well, you know, church has been pretty good to me. I should give a little. No, I'm looking at my mina in my hand that was a gift from Almighty God. And I'm going, I just want to make sure I steward this well. And I'd love to turn it into 10-fold or 100-fold or 1,000-fold or 10,000-fold to say, thank you, God. Because I'm not doing any of that in eternity. I'm getting a reward from you. But what I have to offer you, I've already given. And the box store is posted. And then the last thing, and this one's a little bit interesting for us as we're moving into more of a conflicting season. You cannot face persecution for the sake of Jesus in heaven. If you're going to do that, you do that now. And facing persecution is an amazing way that we give back to God and glorify God for him facing persecution for us. It's how we bear witness with our Savior. And again, it's maybe one of the reasons why we're not all as completely locked into him as we could be, because we're living basically a pain-free life spiritually, but that's changing, right? Some of you maybe got passed over at work for a promotion because you talked too much about Jesus, or people knew you were a Christian or knew that you stood for the truth, or maybe you got worked out of your job and ultimately somebody else got hired because there's a little too much Jesus in the equation. Or maybe right now you want to kind of navigate a certain career path, but you know you've got to not step on a landmine with your faith in that career path. Or maybe it's just more obvious than that, that you're in a place and time where you spoke up about Jesus and a big, massive wave came back your way. Well, count it all joy when you face persecution for my name's sake. A very famous person said that. His name is Jesus. And he said, and when you face it, just go, great. Don't go, oh man, I don't know what's happening. I don't like this. Just go, great. Because that means with my little 5 seconds that I had right here in the mina in my hand, I had the opportunity to say, hey, I don't know what this is going to cost me, but Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. By his love and grace and mercy, he has redeemed and saved me and given me a brand new life. That is my story. Oh, I will respect you if it's not your story. I'll respect you completely if you have a whole nother religious ideology. But I will not undercut the only grace on earth of a God who said, you don't have to make a way. I made the way for you. There's a hole forever. Nobody faces persecution for standing up with Jesus.
Stay connected with monthly emails and more by visiting us online at passionwithlouisgiglio.com.